Okay, so we are on the air. So I'm going to just say hello and welcome to the internet crowd. And this is actually our prayer meeting. But if you excuse me, I'm going to share some thoughts from the Word of God. Because we believe that when we share from the Word of God, it gives substance to our souls. And that is very good when we pray. Because sometimes we pray and all we have to pray about is just, you know, the thoughts that have gone through our head during the day. But, you know, when we fill our souls with some substance from the Word of God, then it makes a difference. So let's just begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn to James 1. And we're going to read just a couple of verses, 2 to 5 actually. Lord, we come before you this evening, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come together like this on a Friday night to pray. And God, we pray for these thoughts that we're going to share tonight. We pray that they will be anointed. We pray that they will be edifying. We pray that they will be special and personal to each one of us. We pray that they will be comprehensible or understandable. And we ask you, Lord, to just give us peace, rest in our minds, rest in our souls, rest in our emotions, God, and help us to be with you, God, in your precious name. Amen. Okay, my title tonight for this message is Victims or Victors. Now, victor means, to be a victor means to be victorious. So are we victims or are we victors? And the text that we're going to use tonight is from James 1 and verses 2 to 5. James 1, verses 2 to 5. And if you wonder why I'm repeating this thing, it's not because I think that you lack intelligence, but I just know that when you're the speaker and you have already thought through these things, then it comes maybe more natural to you. But when you hear it for the first time, it's like, oh yeah, what did he say now? Well, you know, and you go through all the... So I, on purpose, I'm talking a little bit, you know, slower as I compare to what I usually do. No, anywho. Okay, so this is from the book of James, and first chapter, verses 2 to 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Okay, now the most common question I believe that we get as believers from, you know, both believers and unbelievers is that, okay, if God is good, if he's a loving God, if he's all powerful, etc., etc., why is he allowing us to go through trials? Now, what I'm sharing right now is quite similar to what we shared a couple of weeks ago, but it's not the same. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say that it's a continuation, but maybe a compliment. But, you know, what we really need to do is to learn the Bible. And why are we learning the Bible? Is it so that we can get greater knowledge? Well, yes, in one sense, but it's not really that either. Is it so that we learn how to live a good life? Well, in a sense, yes, but not really that either. What are we doing then? Well, we are learning about God. What is God revealing about himself? It's not knowledge or good living. It is actually revealing God's character and nature. And that is so important because it is impossible to not impossible. It is possible, rather, to know the Bible, know about the Bible, have lots of knowledge, and so on, and yet misrepresenting God's character and nature. So that's what we are really concerned about tonight and always, that we teach the Bible in such a way that God will, that people will learn about God, who He is, what He has done for us, what He, you know, how, His love for us, His gracious attitude, and so on. So, you know, people have different views about God. For those of you who have been in the apologetics class, we have something we call deism. You know, deism means that people believe that, okay, God is there. He's real. There's no doubt about it. But He's not interested, in one sense, in His creation. He started it. He winded it up, so to speak, like a watch. And now it's just running. And He's not intervening. He doesn't do any miracles. He doesn't really, it doesn't matter to whether we pray or not. The main point is basically just to use the intelligence we have, be logical, and use common sense, because that's a God-given gift. But God is up there. He's separated. He's not really involved with His creation. Other people hold on to something they call, or we call, theologically speaking, open theism. What is open theism? It's a term that is used. It's an extreme view, but it's basically that God is love. God is all these things that we believe about God. But He's not all-powerful. So in other words, He's biting His nails in heaven. You know, I mean, He's not really sure about the outcome. What's going to happen? You know, it's like, yeah, He's very powerful, but He's not all-powerful. So in other words, He's not totally in control. When something bad is happening, a tsunami or something, maybe, He wasn't quite in control. Or whatever. He doesn't know exactly what's going on in our hearts, so he does need to test us in order to find out. Now, that's open theism. So, well, then we look at a promise in the Bible and think like, well, what about this promise? Yeah, God's intention is to back up that promise. But will He? Because He's not all-powerful. You know, and they say, well, I don't believe in that kind of theology. No, I know, but sometimes we think about God that way. We think about Him as, well, is He really in control? Because, you know, there are too many things. Can He really keep up with everything? But the Bible says that He can. And the Bible says that He's very much interested in His creation, especially people, especially the believers. Now, there are others holding to a theology which we touched on Wednesday night, actually, what we call determinism, meaning that God has determined things. He has decided that certain things will happen and nothing can change. So in other words, why pray? You know, God has already ordained different things to happen a certain way, and we are just these, you know, different peasants on the chessboard. You know, He's just moving us around as He pleases. So, but we don't believe, you know, we have a different theology. We believe, first of all, that God is very interested in His people. He's very interested in us here tonight. We believe that He's in absolute control of every single detail, past, present, and future. There is nothing that He doesn't know. It's nothing. I mean, if He hasn't ordained it, He has allowed it. And really, we should not even, in a sense, make a difference. But He's in perfect control. And yes, He has determined certain things. He has a plan of salvation, etc., etc. Absolutely. But it doesn't mean that we don't have a free will. Everything will happen the way God has said. We can turn, we don't have to do it right now, but we could turn to Revelation and read the book of Revelation, and we know exactly what's going to happen in the future, because God knows everything. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the free will. It doesn't mean that people are not making their decisions during their lifetime. It's just that God knew all these decisions, and He allowed them to play out in history, but He knows the outcome. Why am I saying all this? Because we believe this is the kind of God that we're dealing with. And this is why we preach and teach the Bible, so that people will have a right understanding of Him and who He is. Now, let's look at these verses here. There will be four of them. 2, 3, 4, and 5. Number one, it says that we're to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Now, we have touched on this verse or these thoughts several times before, but the word for on every side, it means, it is the Greek word poikilos. Poikilos, it's like a diamond. You know, if you look at a diamond has so many different sides to it. And it's the same principle. You know, when you look at God's grace, which is spoken of in 1 Peter 4:10, it's the poikilos grace. It's grace on every side, meaning that nothing can happen to us, nothing can happen to a believer's life without God's grace being available. Here's the same word. It's the same word. And it means that these testings will be on every side. You know, it's not just, well, I'm going to test you in one area. No, it's testing on every side. And we all know this thing. It doesn't matter how old we are, where we come from, personalities, nationalities. It doesn't matter. We know that there are trials in this life. We have gone through them. People we know have gone through them. There's no doubt about it. And we like to compare them. We like to say that, well, you know, we don't know anything about my trials. You know, they're much worse than yours, etc., etc. We don't know. But we know that God is in control. Now, people ask these questions a lot of times. Why? 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 Last week, or this week actually, a couple of days ago only, there was a bus that drove into a mountain wall in a tunnel in Switzerland. Number of children died, and I don't know, so we can talk about that afterwards, but I just heard someone say that they were Christians. I don't know what it means, but that's what they said. Now you say, well, why is God allowing this for people? We don't know, but was God not concerned about this thing? Yes, indeed He was. Was not God in control of this thing? Absolutely He was. Had God decided for this thing to happen? Well, not in that sense, but He allowed it to happen. And none of them died in vain. Nothing happens without God's absolute knowledge. Be sure of that. Another thing is that, and maybe some of you know this thing, but I'll tell you more about it later, so don't fly up when I say this, but there was a pastor that I know. His daughter was killed just a little over a month ago. And what happened was that, okay, instead of going into the details, which I'm not sure of because I'm not on Facebook. If I'm on Facebook, you know all the details. But but basically this is what happened. Somebody came to the church, and they were going to sell a gun to somebody, and they were in a room, and they were showing the gun, and the gun went off, and the bullet went through the wall and hit the girl in the head, and she was in hospital for weeks, and then finally she died. And it was a major, major, major thing. And I remember the girl when she was a baby, when she was born. She was 20 years old. I remember being in their home. I have met her. I have seen her, you know, several times. And, and people from five different continents wrote letters. It was, the funeral was broadcasted over different radio stations, you know, across North America, and so on. You know, it was a great thing, but it's like, why are these things happening? Again, is not God concerned about these things? Absolutely. Does He not have control? Was that an accident that was out of God's reach or control? No, absolutely not. Had God predestined or determined that thing to happen? No, but he allowed it. He knew it was going to happen, and he allowed it for a reason. And we don't have to go any further, but I'm just saying that these are the kind of trials that we know, or something that I have heard about in the last couple of weeks. And we could just go to ourselves, we could go to the church. We know that people struggle financially, facing things at their workplaces, health issues. We could go down the list. There are so many things. And I'm just saying all that. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, why should we rejoice when these things are happening, you know, to us, you know? Well, because it is the proof that the Word of God has actually been established in our hearts and our lives. It's the proof. And that's why it says rejoice. Because God cannot test an unbeliever. There's nothing to be tested. God cannot even test the carnal believer. There's nothing to be tested. But he can test a mature believer in whom the Word of God has been established. Now, I used to think, or to be honest with you, I still think this way sometimes, that, well, if that's the case, I'm not going to be very mature as a Christian, because then God will test me, and that will be difficult. So maybe I just should be, you know, like an average Christian, not like, you know, pushing it. We know that that way of thinking is not correct. But in our human, weak, frail minds, sometimes we think that way. And let me say this thing too, that the devil is not all-powerful. He's powerful, but he's not even close to God. He's created. God is the creator. And there's a big, big difference there. So in that sense, if you live close to God, I'm going to give you a hard time. So stay away from him. We don't have to think that way. I mean, I hear people say sometimes we should not even pray out loud, because when we pray using our regular language, the devil knows that, so he can pick it up and give us a hard time. I mean, you know, that God is not that small. I mean, if I'm alone with God, I can say whatever I want. I mean, God has these earplugs he can put in the devil's ears very easily, so that he cannot hear our prayers. Anywho, let's go on here, verse 2. Knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. And knowing that, isn't that interesting that he's saying here that there's something we need to know? And it's a lesson for us here, you know, that we need to learn how to respond in wisdom. Pastor Schaller has said this thing many times, that we need to teach our people how to suffer well. Because suffering will be a part of the Christian life. I know churches, and I'm not saying this now to compare, and I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm only saying that I know churches that are teaching that if you're a Christian, you should be healthy and wealthy and happy and joyful all the time. And if I get into that type of thinking, and I think that there is something wrong with me if I go through difficulties, that can be devastating. Mm-hmm. Because then when it happens to me, I will be so disappointed, and eventually I will turn against God. Because the Bible clearly says that you will be tested on every side. It's not just a little bit of testing. It's all over the place. If we follow him, if we have the Word of God in us. So knowing this, knowing that God has a plan, there's a purpose, there's a reason for these things, then we can respond in wisdom. That doesn't mean that we don't freak out. Right? I mean, I freak out daily. Because it's like, I was like, God, you know, why did you allow that? Why did you allow that? You know, you just go on and on and on. So it's like, it's almost ridiculous, you know, when it says, yeah, you know, you should react this way when you go through a trial. You know, says who? Well, I'm saying it, but not because I'm not doing that, but because the Word of God says it. That's the difference. So knowing that, and I'm thinking about, you know, when people are going through difficult times in the world, they really don't know how to handle it, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you live in a society like the Swedish society or Western society in general, where there's so much stuff there, you know, where taking, you know, the system is so organized, and although for those of us who have been around for a while, we feel like the system is falling apart, but for many people, it's still there, you know, it seems like, you know, there is something, but still people cannot really handle death, you know. When somebody is dying, you know, when you have these, people freak out, you know, and they become so religious, you know. The new Swedish religion is like this great, people are very religious without God. It's very strange, you know, they have these ceremonies, you know, and stuff, you know, flowers and lights and holding hands and manifestations and what have you, but no, God is not there, you know. So it's very interesting, religion without God, which is a contradiction in itself, but that's what I see. But in 1 Peter 4:12, the Apostle Peter says to the believers, he said, don't think it's something strange happening to you when you go through sufferings. It's normal for a Christian. It's normal. And the next thing here, there are different types of sufferings. Now, some sufferings are actually something that we brought on ourselves. We don't like to admit that, but a lot of the sufferings we brought on ourselves. In 1 Peter 4:15, he says that if you have lived a certain type of life and you're suffering the consequences, he says there's nothing praiseworthy of that. But even in those cases, God is merciful. And that's what I like, you know. It's not like, hey, well, that's your own fault, you know. I mean, you spent your money, now you have financial difficulties. You were without a winter jacket on, so now you got sick, you know, so it's your own fault. These are the kind of things that maybe, you know, we do and that we bring suffering on ourselves because we don't think, we're not wise, etc. Or it might even be rebellion in many cases. But there's nothing praiseworthy of that, the suffering, but when we turn to God, even that type of suffering, God will use and bring glory to Himself. So, but then there are others, you know, others are bringing suffering into our lives, and we can't help it. In the book of Psalms, David is crying out, he says, like, keep me from evil people. You know, and we know sometimes we go to work, for example, and all of a sudden, there's some crazy thing happened, and we just walked right into it. I mean, we did not cause it. It just fell on us, so to speak, and we can't help it, you know. And there is a suffering there, but God says, you know what? I knew it. I allowed it, and it's there. We also live in a fallen world, so in other words, there are germs, there are bacteria, there's pollution, there are all these things out there. We're going to breathe it. We're going to encounter all kinds of things simply because we live in a fallen world. And therefore, in Genesis 3, we know that, you know, the world or Adam and Eve fell. So that's a form of suffering. But then we have the devil. And of course, you say, oh, the devil made me do it. Well, he did. Maybe. But Luther said, the devil is God's devil. In other words, he has no power over us if God does not allow these things to happen. Read Job 1, or the whole book of Job, actually. And I'm just thinking about this thing that, you know, don't blame the devil in that sense, because, you know, he's doing a good job. You know, if we want to say something positive about him, he's doing a good job, you know, being evil and causing trouble in this world, but what I'm saying is that sometimes, you know, we go through some things and we try to bail people out of certain things, you know, but God has ordained something because he wants to form something in that person, whether it's ourselves or somebody else. And we say, oh, it's the devil, you know, it's the devil, you know, and we say, oh, it's the devil. Well, yeah, maybe not, or maybe it is. But if it is, he had, in Job, we read, he had to go before the throne of God and ask permission. So even if it is him, God still is in control. So, but we also have God. God is ordaining. He's measuring out these type of things. I hope it's not too boring. But he's measuring out these things. And it's never beyond our capacity. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we have this promise that the testings that God will send in our lives, that will never be beyond our capacity. So any of them, whether we brought it on ourselves, whether it's caused by others, whether it's because we live in a fallen world, whether the devil is involved or not, whether it is God himself directly or indirectly, we don't even have to think in terms of that in one sense, because the main thing is that we understand that God is in control. And when we go through these things, God wants to produce patience in our lives. So then in verse 4, we read here that these trials are actually leading to something perfect. What are these perfect things? It's simply a greater knowledge of God, a perfect knowledge of God. Now, in Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, we have, of course, quoted that verse many times, but it says that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are as much higher than our ways as heaven is higher than the earth. And these trials are really leading to something that is perfect. And you know how it is sometimes when we have been through a trial and we are looking back, we realize that we said to God, well, thank you for not taking us out of that, because it led to something. We, at least, we know him better. And that alone is very valuable. So, yes, God never said that things will be easy. But he does say, or he did say, or he does still say, that it's worth it. And you see the difference. He never said that it will be easy, but he said it's worth it. So the testings and the trials might not be easy, but they are worth it, because he's doing something. They are neither, that these things are not even worthy in Romans 8 to be compared to the eternal glory that God will add to those who he is allowing to go through these trials. Wonderful, fantastic. Last verse, verse 5. Pray for wisdom. And this is why I'm bringing it up tonight, because we have a prayer meeting. Pray for wisdom. We don't have to pray, you know, I don't want to say, don't pray this way, pray this way. It's up to each one. But I'm just saying this, that sometimes, you know, we just want to say, God, get the devil out of my life and everything will be fine. Well, the devil is out of my life. He has been ever since the cross. I mean, his power was crushed on the cross. So, I mean, it's not really a problem at all. But when we have wisdom, it will enable us to face trials confidently. Because we know that there is a reason behind it. We know that God has a plan there, you know. And the testing here in verse 3, I'm just backing up a little bit, the word for testing here is dokimion. It's proof. And see, we think sometimes when God is testing us, We think that he's doing it just to embarrass us, you know, make us embarrassed that, hey, you know, you didn't pass that test, ooh, you know, and it's like, you know, and he's showing off and saying that, you know, you have such weak faith, so little faith, and I sent this trial to reveal that. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that he's sending these trials so that we can be strengthened in our faith. Mm-hmm. That's God's purpose. And let me close with Luke 22. Luke 22 and verses 31 and 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I don't know if you know what sifting you as wheat is. It's like when you take wheat and it's like the wind takes it. It just goes all over. You know, if you try to pick that up, I mean, you have a handful of wheat in your hand and the wind will blow it away, you know, and then you try to go on. It's impossible. It can never be picked up. So let's look at this thing here. In chapter 22, verse 31. So Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat. But then it says beautifully in verse 32, but when you have returned, and I remember Tina was sharing this thing one time when she had listened to some message that it doesn't say if you have returned. It says when. So Christ knew exactly when he allowed the devil to sift him as wheat. He knew exactly that this was not to embarrass Peter, even though Peter was embarrassed when he denied him three times, because that's the test he's actually referring to. But the point is that he allowed it. He allowed it. And he knew exactly what it was going to produce in his life. And I love this thing, because why am I saying this? Because we live in a society, and I think this type of thinking has also crept into the church a lot in these last decades, that we are victims, you know, we are victims. Oh, poor you. You're going through this thing. Yeah, we are not talking about having compassion. That's another thing. We have compassion. But it's a totally different thing to constantly say that, oh, you're a victim, you know, it's like, God is not really in control, you know, and God doesn't really care, or God has decided, no, you know what, I feel sorry for you. I mean, no, God has allowed it. You are victorious. You are a victor in this thing. Because we start this whole thing in Christ. I mean, we're already seated with him above. We can't be more victorious than that. That's wonderful. He won a victory. We joined him in that victory when we accepted him as our personal Savior. That's where we begin. We begin in the heavenly places. So when we pray, we're not victims. Oh, God, I'm going through this thing and I'm so bad. You know, it's like, it's out of, do you really care for me? Whatever. Yeah, you're a victor. And I'm just strengthening your faith. I'm producing something greater, better, more than what you are already. I have eternity in mind for these things. So just remember this tonight. We are praying for wisdom. We are not necessarily praying. Paul did three times to remove the thorn in the flesh. God said, no, I give you my grace. My grace is sufficient. He said, don't pray anymore. And I'm not saying now, but what I'm saying that it's so easy for us to think that, yeah, it's just going to be health and wealth. We're just going to, you know, be these super Christians. And then if something happens, it's the devil. And we just need to pray that he will get out. You know, there are many reasons why God is allowing these tests and trials. And we have gone through some of them tonight. But let's just think about this thing. God he's very, very interested in his own creation. He has not just left it up to ourselves and, you know, like a watch is running, you know, after we have been winding it up. And he's very much in control of everything, even though he is allowing things. And also, he has determined things, but not in the sense that prayer cannot change things. Well, if we can change things, then we can change what God has decided. Well, not really, because God knew that. Now we're getting into some philosophical things and we don't need to do that. But I'm just saying that prayer is definitely God's heartbeat. He's asking us to pray. Pray especially for wisdom. Wisdom to understand what we're going through and to be patient there and to have this wisdom to go through these things. Amen.